It's good to have Brother John with us back this morning, and I now invite him to give us those necessary words of exhortation.
Thank you, Brother Andrew. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you for your kind and warm welcome this morning. I'm going to endeavour to try and connect the three readings together this morning, four words of exhortation. And the word in Genesis chapter 1 that gives us that key, really, that connection, is the Hebrew word bodal. So we're going to concentrate on that for a few minutes. If you could turn to Genesis chapter 1, then we'll start reading at verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And so the Almighty Creator provides this light in a place where there was heretofore only darkness. So God introduces light. And we know it's not the light of the sun or the moon, because we find those things are created on the fourth day, from verse 14. And so God introduces a light which can only be his glory. Verse 6, we read that God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So there was water in this darkness that God had to separate. He had to lift certain waters above the waters that remained. So gravitationally, that would be what we know as the sea and the rivers and the water of the reserves in store under the earth. From the waters which become for us the clouds. To create this gap, this firmament, which, verse 8, we read, he called heaven. So if we go to verse, and that gap, that space, brothers and sisters, was made for us, for our dwelling place. Verse 14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And our Hebrew word bodal, B-O-D-A-L, is the word divide. We read there in verse 4, God divided the light from the darkness. In verse 6, he divided the waters from the waters. Again in verse 7. In verse 14, he divided the firmament of the heaven for day and night. And then the fifth time in verse 18, again divided the light from the darkness. So this environment was created by division, brothers and sisters. by separation for man to dwell therein. So from the very beginning of time, we have what I would term as the principle of separation. We have black and white. We have day and night. We have darkness and light. Into which came, brothers and sisters, only good things at the beginning. Into this environment, this separation, this purity, this abundance which God created, only goodness was made. And at the end of 6 days, God saw that it was very good. And in chapter 3, we read of evil that came into this environment. That man fell from grace. That man brought into that separation of purity sin and disobedience and fornication. And so the Almighty, knowing the end from the beginning, knew that disobedience and sin would come into his perfect creation. And so separation was integral in all of those good things that he made in 6 days. For as we know, it was the voice of the Lord that Adam heard. It was an extension of the Lord now not being able to abide with man. He cannot coexist with the abhorrence of sin and the opposition of our nature. And that can never mar the immediate environment in which the Almighty exists. And so this division or this separation was made as a fundamental state to separate us from him, as high as heaven is above the earth and as low as we are upon the earth. And we must be changed to be near him. And so this principle is typified in the next use in the scriptures of this Hebrew word, bodel. Could you turn to Exodus 26? Here we have the instructions for God's house, for the tabernacle. Verse 31. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. Thou shalt hang it upon 4 pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the 4 sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil. The ark of the testimony. The veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And so this veil is instructed to be made to separate the presence of the Almighty on the mercy seat from the ministration of his priests beyond the veil in the holy place. And so in the type that the tabernacle represents, and the purity of the gold and the redemption of the silver, this veil hung to separate man from God when God came down in his glory to be in the midst of his people. A veil through which access was only permitted but once a year on the Day of Atonement by that figure who foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ, having observed certain ordinances of separation from sin, within fear and trepidation of his life, he would enter that veil and so approach the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Covenant. And for 8,000 years, brethren and sisters, that curtain of separation proverbially has hung between God and his creation. 7,000 years so far from creation, and another 1,000 years of Christ's millennial reign separating the mortal population and the immortalized saints from the presence of the Almighty Creator, until, as the Apostle Paul reveals to us, finally, the Lord can be all and in all. Would you go to Psalm 1 then? I think we know this psalm quite well. And it's a psalm of separation in part. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A description of the perfect man. Description of the Lord Jesus Christ in all his days and in all his ways. And then the contrast in verse 4. The ungodly, the wicked, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So blessed or very happy are they who walk not, and who stand not, and who sit not, and have no part with the fornication of this world. Blessed, very happy are they who separate themselves from the fornication of this world, who remain separate from the ungodly, from sinfulness and from fornication and wickedness. Black and white, night and day, darkness and light, good and evil, divided and separated by the Lord, there are no shades of grey. You turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, says Isaiah, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. God's original purpose in creating that gap between the waters was to establish a family with whom he could abide with, brothers and sisters. And for us to qualify, we must separate ourselves from all of those things which we know are wrong. All of those things which represents the degradation of mankind. Wickedness, fornication, and sin. So could you go to our third reading in Matthew chapter 1? May not be obvious, but there's a couple of verses here that I think endorses this aspect of the principle of separation. In the first 16 verses, we get that wonderful genealogy as Matthew emphasizes the aspect of the Lord as Messiah, as the one who was promised, as the one who would crush the head of the serpent. And then we get the summary of the generations in verse 17. Verse 18 then. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, when his mother Mary had been betrothed, they were engaged. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. A new creation, brothers and sisters. A new thing. Adam was created of the dust of the ground. Eve taken from his side. And the whole history of mankind to this point in time, conception, pregnancy, and birth. And now, a new thing, something separate from the fornication of man. There was a division of the natural order of things for mortal mankind. Because Joseph represented sin. Joseph was sinful, like we all are. And Joseph could not be the father. That was incompatible with righteousness. And so, a new creation, unique and holy, separate. In the purity of the womb of this new helpmeet, this second Eve, her who was highly favoured, chosen by the Almighty to bear his son, the fetus created by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, the Hebrew word, I'm jumping ahead. We'll read verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. So here we have another principle of separation because of the reputation of his wife. He was a righteous man. He heard the message from the Almighty through the angel. wanted to uphold the reputation of his fiancée, who was highly favoured. And so he wanted to separate her, to put her away privately, or as the Hebrew word lathra reveals to us, secretly. And not the derivatives of that Hebrew word, ophel, which means in darkness, or torma, which means in deceit. So the Lord inspired Matthew to write exactly these words because of the purity of the child that was in Mary's womb. So to separate Mary with her child from the public gaze, to separate her from the counsel of the ungodly and from the way of sinners and from the seat of the scornful, he was minded to put her away privately, to preserve her innocence in the sight of fallible man. Because as we know, in our judgments, brethren and sisters, and there's an exhortation for us here, that we would expect to think that there is no smoke without fire. But Joseph knew the truth and wanted to separate her for her sake. For she carried within the darkness of the matrix of her womb the light of the world. A light that was separated or divided from sin. A light that would never, ever sin. Right from the beginning. And Joseph's instinct was right, brethren and sisters. You turn to John chapter 8. This is a long dialogue between the Lord Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. We'll go into verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And so their investigations and their fallible judgments came through with these words, We are not born of fornication, because they did not perceive the truth. They did not perceive the Messiah, the light of the world standing before them. And even at the end of the chapter, verse 58, Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus himself separated himself from them because his hour was not yet at hand. He separated himself and asks us to separate ourselves also, because he did not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He stood not in the way of sinners, and he sat not in the seat of the scornful. But as we know, his delight was in the law of the Lord. And in his law did he meditate day and night, to separate and divide the darkness of sin from the righteousness of the light. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9 then. Verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary or the holy place. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So the apostle reminds us of the separation of that first covenant and reminds us of the veil. We turn to chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, confidence to enter into the holiest, the most holy place, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way with which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. It's speaking to us of separation again here, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith, our hope, without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So the Lord Jesus was that veil, the flesh which we remember now was that separation from sin to holiness. If you could just turn a page or two to chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And in our mind's eye, brothers and sisters, I'm sure you see, as I do, two thrones in heaven. The Almighty Creator and Sustainer of life and all things, with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the first fruits in unity together in one purpose together, separated from sinful flesh, the new creation made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, but now in glory, the pattern of the reality of our hope, that we too can be made like him. He is divided from us now by us, by our nature. And the space between him and us is a chasm. But in God's grace, we see that space, that gap, reducing. We see that gulf being reduced to nothing when God will be all and in all, after which is only goodness, no evil, only mercy and love, no hatred, only compassion, no fornication, only righteousness forevermore, no black, no darkness, no night, no evil. You turn to the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Chapter 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle or lamp, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Amen.